And welcome to the newest episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. I am G, joined by my always wonderful co-host, Ray from Whimsical Pictures.
Hi, everybody.
And this month, August, we are going to be doing a episode on manga that is about mysteries, mystery manga. This is a genre that I think gets forgotten about a little bit, insofar as, like, if you ask people, have you read a lot of mystery, like, it's very easy to forget what is and isn't mystery, maybe. There's some very notable ones, obviously. Detective Conan or Case Closed is the one that is just the flagship of what is mystery and has been so popular for so long in Japan.
Easiest to think of, for sure.
But mystery
springs to mind.
Yeah, mystery is one of those genres that can be applied to any other genre, a historical setting, sci-fi setting, fantasy setting, as well as just more kind of down-to-earth true crime style of detective mystery. So there's a lot out there, probably more than people realize, maybe. And we've seen a huge influx of it over the last couple years as well. So before we get into the questions, which we got quite a lot this month, thank you everyone who sent those in, I was just wanting to differentiate, because there is such a broad reach when we talk about mystery, we're going to break it into two kind of subcategories of just that true crime, detective fiction, real life mystery style of story. And then on the other hand, or the other side of that spectrum, is the supernatural mystery. Very often there is something like creepy or weird going on that our characters have to figure out, but it's usually caused by some kind of supernatural ghost or curse or yokai, something along those lines. Which obviously is not, like, it's a very different thing from someone's like, oh no, someone has commit a murder and it turns out to be like the brother's ex-wife or something, right? Like, those are two very different things. So there is a little bit of crossover for those things, though, as well. One really notable one, we're getting the manga as well, but I have actually been reading the novels for, is Associate Professor Akira Takatsuki's Conjecture Folklore Studies, which has super, like, there's a couple of those. Higurashi is another similar idea where there's supernatural elements in there, but ultimately all of the crime or all of those mysteries have very, like, logical real life answers to them. And that's sort of the point for that particular light novel, is them finding, like, mysteries that seem to have some kind of supernatural cause, and through facts and logic figuring out, like, it's not a supernatural thing.
Also known as the Scooby-Doo school of deductive reasoning.
Exactly. Exactly. Scooby-Doo is a great example of that. So I think talking about those two very separate, or, well, sometimes separate, sometimes not, styles of mystery, I think is important to define. I think people, when you hear mystery, immediately go to that Case Closed style of, like, our main character is a police officer or a detective or just some guy who gets pulled into a crime, but because of his amazing reasoning and skills and deduction, is able to figure out these mysteries far better than the police.
Just the smartest boy with the wrinkliest brain.
I mean, you could put it that way. Yes, right. obviously, Detective Conan is is that boy. He has some other shenanigans happening, insofar as being turned into a child. That's not quite based.
It's not supernatural, though. It's a drug. It's a drug.
I don't know what kind of drug. That seems very, very unusual. But ultimately, he is just a kid with great powers of deduction and just the biggest romance with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. He just really wants to be a detective. It's all he's ever wanted.
Arthur Conan Doyle and Edogawa Ranpo.
Yeah, well, any mystery writer he's just infatuated with. He loves the idea of the genius detective a la Sherlock Holmes. And he is not alone in that. There is several characters of similar ilk, but as said, Conan is just the one you think of, right? Hugely popular and such a long-running manga. It's just a tentpole within Japan and across the world as well. But we'd be amiss as well to say that he is the only example of this. Another very recent example is our main character from Don't Call It Mystery. This is his kind of wheelhouse. He's not in love with the idea of being a detective. He really doesn't want to get involved at all.
But he also can't keep his goddamn mouth shut. So, I mean,
he just is far too good at seeing the logic and the deductions and getting just pissed off with how slow the police are in figuring all this shit out. He just wants to eat his curry.
Connecting all the threads in his mind palace.
Yes, a very Sherlock Holmesian style of character. Similarly, we see this in another series, which I don't know if you've ever heard of, Ray. It's one that I believe is on Manga Plus. I read it a while ago. But I suspect it will gain a lot of popularity very soon because it is getting an anime released next year. Mm-hmm. Next year? I think so. And it's by the mangaka of, like, Reborn, Hitman Reborn. One's called Ron Kamonohashi, Deranged Detective, who's just a bit of a layabout, not a lot of interest in life except to solve mysteries, and he's just so super good at it, right? He's just so super good.
As they all are,
As they all are. Within kind of the more, those are the weirdos who are like not within law enforcement. They just, you know, hang around with law enforcement and get pulled into cases a lot.
Kindaichi Case Files is another one like that.
Yeah. But we do also have story, and in a similar vein, we do also have like Lost Lad London, wherein I think that one's a little bit closer to Don't Call It Mystery because the main character he's just a dude who gets accused of a crime. This is usually how it happens, right? You get accused of a crime and you have to prove your own innocence. And then you just find out that you're so good at figuring out mysteries. And then you just keep running into more crimes and have to keep solving more mysteries. Thankfully, Lost Lad London is only one singular crime, so we don't have an ongoing interaction. Yeah. But this is how a lot of these styles start.
I was gonna say, that's kind of a big shit, like, that's a big, like, also separator in genre, I think, between different types of mystery manga, is, like, there's some that are really just focused on, like, one central mystery, and they follow it from beginning to end. And then there's other ones like Detective Conan or Kindaichi Case Files or Don't Call It Mystery, where it's like very episodic, like whodunit. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So there's that style. We'll talk about other titles down as well, but that's our initial kind of, these are people who exist in the real world. The crimes are caused by humans and are solved by humans. And that's it. That they may be big brain humans, but they're not like, they don't have magic power, right?
And in the end, the culprit was your ex-wife.
The old man with the broken leg.
The butler.
Exactly. Oh, God, how could he? And then, of course, we on the other end of that spectrum, as mentioned, we have supernatural manga. There are those that the mystery itself is caused by some supernatural entity. Titles like Mukyo and Roji is sort of that style, where there's a ghost or some kind of magic happening. But then we also have a similar kind of like, oh, we need to solve human mysteries, but our main character has some kind of superhuman power, i.e. things like Erased, where our main character gets sent back in time to his childhood days in order to solve a murder. We have Summertime Rendering, where our character is in a time loop in order to solve the death of his best friend. We have Usatoki Rhetoric.
And we have, again, Detective Conan, where the main character is returned to the days of his childhood.
Yes, yeah. We have, We have Usatoki Rhetoric, wherein our main character can verbally hear lies that people tell, like, say. So, you know, the magic recognition of... And those normally are the characters that are, like, the sidekick. There is a cool detective who can figure things out through facts and logic. But by having an assistant who has this magical ability to hear lies, then that helps them out. That's also the main character in, I don't want to say the full name again, but that Akira Takatsuki's Conjecture, our main character in that can hear lies. But has hidden that from everyone his whole life, which is how he gets pulled into the shenanigans of the handsome young professor at his university. Yeah, so we have, as said, there are mysteries that are caused by some kind of creepy, ghouly monster.
Yeah, that'd be like, you know, Higurashi Umineko kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's overlapping with, like, human stuff, but it's... I mean, in Higurashi, you know, the demon did do it, so...
The demon did do it, but also, like, there was a lot of human involvement with that demon.
But yeah, I mean, you know, within, like, the whole, like, it was a supernatural thing that did the mystery, we have, you know, deviating as far as, like, you know, something like Holic or, like, Mushishi would be, have strong mystery elements to them.
Absolutely.
And we have an episode on yokai manga, so feel free to check that out if you want to know more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, with that out of the way, with those kind of haphazard definitions between the two, and it is really hard to strongly separate one from the other because there is quite a bit of overlap. But we will do our best to try and indicate whether one is or isn't a supernatural mystery when we talk about and answer some of these questions. Because I do think that there's, as someone who is a mystery fan, who's also, like, someone who is a yokai and supernatural fan, I do like both of these styles of mystery, but I can understand why someone might not like one or the other. Why someone might prefer just, like, supernatural shenanigans, or someone is like, I want a real, like, hard-hitting detective kind of story. I don't want it to be because it was a ghost, right? Like, that's not satisfying.
A wizard did it. It's like you want to know whether you can solve it along with the main character as you go, you know?
Exactly. And if your main character has some amazing ability to hear lies in people's voices just because of magic, like, that does take away some of that interesting deduction part of it. That's why I wanted to separate those two things, because they are separate experiences as a reader. And I'm sure they're separate experiences as a writer. With that...
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, should we get into questions?
Absolutely.
I figure we can start with the broadest question here from Zach at Zakasa49. Pretty simple. What are some mystery manga you guys would recommend?
So, two answers to this question. If you do like that kind of detective deduction, Sherlock Holmesian-esque style of mystery, there's several. I mean, I would say that, as mentioned, Don't Call It Mystery is a really wonderful recent Jose that we've gotten in English. That's also ongoing, and just has that real fun kind of Holmesian Moriarty rivalry happening as well, if you're into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a good variety of different crimes and mysteries to solve as well. It's not just like, oh, there's been another murder. You know,
there's certainly some murder happening.
You don't want to get stuck in the Midsummer Murders style of, like, there's a murder every week. I don't know how anyone is alive in this area because people are just dropping like flies. So you do get a good variety. I would say if you like a historical, historical mystery, especially with a really strong female character, The Apothecary Diaries is a great version of that, wherein our main character, due to her amazing medicinal skills and poisoning knowledge, is able to figure out various mysteries around the emperor that keep happening, if you enjoy that kind of setting, is very, very good. One that is a little bit older, one that's a classic, one that we've talked about before on the podcast, is the sci-fi great They Were 11, which is a, you know, locked room, whodunit, extra person style mystery. Obviously, it's a sci-fi as classic. Well. Absolute classic. And that's just a really strong example of mixing genres.
Yeah, I mean, Astra Lost in Space also has the same, like, strong, like, extra person.
Absolutely. Mystery. If you are looking for a more supernatural style of mystery, especially one that keeps you guessing, I would say, like, Higurashi and Umineko are really, 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 like, they certainly don't make it easy for you to figure out the overarching mysteries of those stories. And you do feel very satisfied by the end. You don't feel like you've been cheated out just because there was supernatural elements there. Mm-hmm. It really feels good to figure out to have that mystery explained to you at the end of it. Plus, it really brings like a whole variety of different kinds of mysteries, because for those who don't know, Higurashi and its sister side story Umineko are they repeat, so at the end of one mystery it's one singular mystery, but they present multiple versions of that mystery, and so every single time, especially in the first half of those stories, you get a different experience, and then in the latter half you get like the explanations of those original mysteries / horror shows. I'll also throw my hat in and say that I do think that Usatoki Rhetoric is very sweet for what it is. That one is about it's set in Taisho, late Taisho, early Showa, and is about a young woman who can hear lies in people's voices, or she can recognize when someone is telling a lie, and not just like she has really good people skills. It's because she can, their voice changes and like modulates a different way. And so through that, she is able to help this guy who she meets, who is a detective, a bit of a struggling, lazy, always behind on his rent dude, but handsome. He's handsome, so that makes it all worthwhile. Helps him solve cases, which she kind of doesn't need to do because he is really good at figuring things out and like figuring out mysteries, solving mysteries. But with her ability to hear lies, it makes his job just that much easier. And that one's a mix of shorter, like single chapter mysteries. The third volume, which I just read, has a longer mystery that covers that whole volume. So there is some variation with that one as well. Novel-wise, I can't speak to the manga versions of them because I haven't read them, but both The Case Files of Jeweler Richard, which doesn't deal with with murder, so if you don't want to read about some grisly crimes, and you do want to read about two boys falling in love and also a bunch of gemstones, then read that one. Is really, really good. It the mysteries really are used to sort of give context or to define the side characters who come visit our titular jeweler Richard or his part-timer Seiji, and the various emotions and symbolisms that come with those gems. And then, as I've already mentioned a couple times, but Associate Professor Akira Takatsuki's Conjecture Folklore Studies, which has that, I can hear people lying. Like, I've never told anyone that because I recognize that that's a weird thing to do and people will shun me. Our main character getting roped into investigating a bunch of urban myths and kind of weird supernatural happenings around their town. As our professor character, he is in he is in folklore studies, so that is his job. He recognizes that our main character, there's just something a little bit different about him, so he pushes him to become his assistant for when he's out doing field work investigating all these urban myths. But maybe there is something not quite human about our handsome professor himself. Maybe there's a reason he is so engaged with folklore studies. So there's that one as well. That's also a bit of a two boys may or may not be falling in love very slowly, if that is your thing.
And it should be. It's delicious.
What about yourself, Ray?
What could be better? Well, the biggest one is also the most obvious. I gotta throw one in for Detective Conan. I feel like it's so famous, but like not that many people actually like in Western fandom, right, in English speaking fandom, necessarily have seen or read a lot of Detective Conan. And like, if you haven't, I would recommend picking up a volume or two. This is one that I've been watching and reading since I was in elementary school, I think. Like, I just had been watching it on Adult Swim, but obviously being a children's show, it's engaging to a kid. But like, even as I got older into like teen years and now as an adult, I can still go back to volumes and be engaged and have a good time. Whether it's one of the like very, very kid friendly little adventures that Conan has with his little first grade gang of friends, solving whoever's been, you know, fucking up the playground, whatever. I mean, honestly, even when it's the first graders, they're often just solving a murder, so.
Yeah, I mean.
There's so much murder. There's over 1,000 episodes of the anime, and presumably it's been less than a year because everyone's still the same age. It's a lot of murder. It's a lot of murder in the world of Detective Conan. But no, the mysteries are, like, they'll be 2 to 3 chapters long, and they are quite engaging. Like, they can be pretty decently difficult to figure out, and I think it is really impressive that Aoyama-sensei is able to keep just, like, pulling these things out of his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like a fun, like, cozy mystery type of series. It's really easy to just pick up a volume every once in a while and
mm-hmm.
just read a couple little mysteries, try to solve them along with Conan. So I will preface this next one by saying that I am not caught up with the English release of it, but mm-hmm. I don't know how the mystery resolves or if we've gotten there or how far we've gotten. But, The King's Beast, at least where I'm at, very solidly set up, supernatural, sort of, well, fantastical mm-hmm. mystery,
mm-hmm.
Where the main character has sort of snuck herself into the employ of one of the princes of this country, and is trying to uncover the, murderer behind her brother's death,
mm-hmm.
Along with the prince whose employ she is under. That one is from the creator of Dawn of the Arcana and The Water Dragon's Bride. I think it's her best work to date.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly her most polished.
Mm-hmm.
And it introduces quite a few suspects pretty early on, and makes for quite a compellingly set up mystery,
mm-hmm.
Where pretty much every single person they introduce seems like they are plausibly either the murderer or not. which is what you want. Like, that's exactly what you want. So. Yeah,
you don't want it to be projected as, like, that's obviously the killer. That's obviously... unless it's meant to be obvious, then it's a red herring. I will say, as someone who is caught up with the English release and who does know how that mystery wraps up, because it has, I'll be interested to see or to hear your perspective on it when you get to it, because it might not be what you expected. No, that's not a bad thing. I just am interested. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts.
Now I'm scared.
No, don't be scared. Asking, do you prefer series with long form mysteries through multiple volumes or over the entire series, or shorter form mysteries that are only contained to like one or a couple chapters? And what series would best exemplify the pros and cons of each type? What do you think, Ray? Like, what do you prefer? Kind of a longer ongoing mystery or just more snippets or self-contained mysteries, which are kind of more relegated to this smart detective boy figuring out lots of mysteries?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I would say my favorite is, like, if you have a series that just is one mystery, but it's the series is only like 2 or 3 volumes
mm-hmm.
long.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's ideal to me, because there's stuff like I think that a lot of the mystery in something like 20th Century Boys is really like compelling and fun and kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And keeps you guessing about which friend is like the friend.
Yeah.
Which friend is the friend. But, you know, when you stretch it out over, like, over 20 volumes, you're like, all right, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I guess like even for like more longer form mysteries, like I don't want them to be too long form, you know what I'm saying? But otherwise, I just like it depends on what I'm looking for. Because it's like sometimes you are looking for just like a cozy mystery to like, you know, read on a rainy afternoon and you're feeling super cozy with your like, you got your blanket, you got your hot beverage next to you, and you're just like, you know, wanting to read like a simple, like locked room mystery kind of thing where you got a bunch of suspects and you get to kind of go through all the clues and figure it out. But sometimes, you know, you're wanting to read something that's more in depth, more like gets to you like emotionally, that has more in-depth like characters and stuff like that. So, I don't know that I have necessarily a preference, so much as my preference changes with what mood I'm in,
For sure.
in terms of reading. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think there's a real art to being able to write a really well done but concise mystery, so that it is just a couple volumes or even a singular volume in the case of They Were 11.
100 pages, like, dang.
Exactly. You get the satisfaction of having all of the evidence given to you or all of the clues given to you and having that really strong interrogation or exploration and collection of those clues and being able to figure it out is actually a really difficult thing to do, I think. It can sometimes, as again, take this from me who has read a lot of and watched a lot of mystery in my life. It can be very easy to just keep spinning out mystery for longer and longer and longer, namely because you might not even, as the writer, have an answer to
You
that
know
mystery.
what? Yeah.
You don't know where it's going. I will just quietly say that, like, a lot of the mysteries or that intrigue in something like Attack on Titan is handled in this way, where it's quite compelling initially, but it just goes on for so long and keeps getting pushed back and back and back. And I don't want to say that Isayama didn't know what he was going to do, but I do think that he didn't know how he was going to get from point A to point B. So he kept kind of just trying to, push it until a little procrastinate on it until he like ultimately had to make the characters figure things out or have it presented to them, as the case may be. Not to and so there's that style of mystery which I don't think works and I do think is very easy to fall into, especially if you're not someone who is very familiar with writing mystery either. I do think it's one of those genres that is very reliant on certain tropes for a reason, right? Like there has been centuries of mystery written in literature and across countries and eras, and really, like, there's no new idea, right? Everything is either, he was stabbed with an icicle, and so the murder weapon melted, or like it's a locked room mystery, but there's actually a secret door, or there's a like a snake came in through the like. There's some typical genre things that are set in stone, and that it's not to say that you can't do creative or interesting ways, use those things in different ways, but every mystery has been done. It's just up to you as the creator to do it well. And when you have a series with multiple mysteries that are contained to single chapters or to short, like shorter form stuff, it can be really another issue is that it can get very repetitive quite quickly. Which again is kind of testament to the fact that Case Closed has existed for so long. I don't want to say, like, every...
Just how many murders can there be in this town?
Exactly. Like, I don't want to say every mystery is wholly unique in Case Closed. I haven't read enough of it to know that, and I doubt anyone could put out 1,100 chapters of something and not reuse the ideas every so often.
Oh, yeah.
But making that engaging and fun and interesting... and also, like, Case Closed is its own thing because I'm sure there's readers, people who are reading at the beginning who aren't reading now, people who only started reading, like, mm-hmm. halfway through. So you will have a new audience anyway after a certain point. You do extend a mystery series for far too long. It can get very repetitive, and then people just get bored and stop engaging with it. I think it's also why something like Mushishi is done so well. Like, every single one of those cases, I use that word very loosely, but, like...
I mean, yeah, they're cases.
They're right? Medical cases more than, like, criminal
yeah,
cases.
Yeah, they're medical cases.
Are all, like, they're all caused by Mushi, but the fact that each one is very unique and each cause and each character it's affecting is so specific to that particular storyline means that it's phenomenal from start to end. You don't feel like you're just reading, like, oh yeah, another Mushi doing some batshit stuff, right? Like, more crazy Mushi things. Like, that is ostensibly what it is, but it's like, oh, this is a Mushi that can mimic, you know, the sound of wind, and this is a Mushi that looks like a rainbow, and it causes this. So there's a lot of variation.
It's also, like, in the case of, like, Mushishi, I think something that's important is, like, especially if we're talking about the more, like, supernaturally focused, like, mystery series, like, the mystery in a given chapter of Mushishi is never what Mushi is doing it, because, yes, like, you can't solve that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, that's not going to mean anything to you. You're going to be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, natural phenomenon turned supernatural phenomenon. Or, like, wow, that's a really beautiful illustration or a beautiful concept. But it's like, the mystery is, like, what is ailing these people emotionally. You know, it's like, why is this guy, like, freezing alive? You know, he's recently, like, lost someone. And, you know, oh, he's struggling with the grief, and this is the metaphorical manifestation of that. And, you know, like, the mystery is always, like, very human, even in, like, those supernatural contexts.
Yes.
And each, like, human condition that is explored in Mushishi is very, you know, they're very different from each other.
For sure. So. And I think that ties really well with, speaking of supernatural mysteries, especially those that are about, like, a human who has a supernatural ability, and that helps them figure stuff out. We didn't really define it as a mystery or name it in our list prior, but even something like Natsume's Book of Friends, like, he has a power that allows him to help people and fix problems. They're not mysteries in the same way that, like, Case Closed is, but it is through his ability that he is able to address things, both on the human and yokai side. But usually when you have a character who has, like, the ability to hear people tell lies or the ability to see yokai, it's less about, like, oh, this crazy shit is happening because of yokai, and more like, how can this person who has a power that differentiates them from everyone else, how are they able to interact with people? Or, like, normally it's a story about them getting closer to people after being ostracized for so long, or from hiding their true self for so long. Usutoki Rhetoric is the same thing, as I said. Natsume is the same thing. There's another one that I just thought of, but I can't remember now. There's quite a few Inspector is sort of this as well. For those who don't know, it's that one's a story of a girl who was spirited away when she was younger, and then returned to humanity. And in exchange for her eye and her leg, she became kind of like the queen or the messenger or whatever of yokai. Like this, she's in between worlds. So she has the ability to see all of these yokai, these supernatural creatures. And she has this powerful ability to deduce all of these mysteries. But a lot of the things that she and her assistant, who has crazy superhuman strength, a lot of the mysteries that they come across initially are presented as supernatural, but again have they're human, like they are a human mystery. They're not caused by spirits at all. Even though like sometimes it does affect the local yokai there, it's never caused by the yokai. So again, the story is less about like there's an ongoing rumor about a curse or a ghost or something, and a human is taking advantage of that rumor to cause grief, to, you know, do murder or mischief or whatever the case may be. And so part of it is like solving those like mysteries that sometimes involve murder, sometimes don't, but also about like the people who are just a little bit outside of humanity connecting with someone who is quote unquote normal, and finding a place, finding acceptance in a world that doesn't accept them. So there's that element as well, I find. But personally, I like the sweet spot between the two is having a series that has like multiple single chapter or like handful of chapter mysteries, but then also having a longer ongoing mystery pertaining to one of the main characters, right? Like, oh, we're solving a crime or like a diamond heist or something, but also like, what's up with that weirdo who's really good at being a detective? Right, so
yeah, I mean, Don't Call It Mystery is actually a really good example of this. I think, since we have like with each ongoing mystery, we have continued dropped hints about the sordid past of our main character, which I'm very eager to unravel more about him and his what seems to be a very troubled childhood.
Yes.
I like how emotionally that's sort of weaved into his responses to the different circumstances of the suspects that he meets and the types of advice that he gives to people. Which he gives a lot of unsolicited advice. That's kind of his thing. I think the series, I enjoyed it quite a bit. The first omnibus. But I think that we got off on the wrong foot by getting with the, like, the gender politics in, like, the first chapter. And I was like, this is very, like, a lot of, like, Japanese people are probably, like, nodding along, not really thinking about it. But it's a couple decades old by, I think, most readers of the English editions. Perspective, I would guess. That was unfortunate, but his little monologues, I think, get better as the volume goes on. So
for sure,
I just it's like, okay, we're going some weird places in the first couple of them. It's very gender essentialist places, but it's better after that. Another good example actually is like Mushishi, where we have like Ginko going around and solving essentially medical case files for supernaturally afflicted patients. But he himself, you can see from his appearance, has been supernaturally afflicted in a way himself. So we return to like throughout the series we return to him and why he's wandering the country seemingly aimlessly, why he looks the way that he does, with his one green eye and his white hair. And what his sort of relationship with both Mushi and humanity is.
Yeah. Both the light novels I mentioned as well do this, wherein, you know, each novel chapter is typically a mystery, but then over the course of the series, you slowly kind of unravel the mysterious person at the center of it as well, who's one of the main characters. So obviously in Julia Richards' case, we slowly learn like more about him and why he goes by the name that he does and why he left his family and everything in England and why he found himself in Japan. You learn little bits and pieces over the course of the first half of the novels, and then you get little insights to Seiji, our main character, as well, but it's a little bit later that some of that is addressed. So like both of them have stuff going on, but that those things going on, they help form their opinions or their outlook on stuff, which obviously helps inform the decisions that they make regarding the mysteries or the cases that they come across. But they're not like front and center. This story is about, you know, daddy issues. It's like, oh no, this is a mysterious emerald that has gone missing, and what happened to it? We need to figure it out. But also, one of the characters might not be super fond of this dude who is a dad and is cheating on his wife or something, right? Like, that's how you subtly foreshadow smartly, right? And that's how, as a reader, you learn to like piece those clues together, which makes it a satisfying mystery when you get to it.
Yep. This is an area where Detective Conan actually like suffers, because it has no end in sight ever, because it does ostensibly have an overarching mystery where we're trying to solve this like drug ring or whatever that you know, turned our main character into a first grader,
Men in Black,
who have their own spin-offs and like movies and crap at this point. But it's like, you know, is Shinichi Kudo ever gonna turn back into a 17-year-old? No. No. And you're not reading to find out. So. But yeah. Yeah, that's definitely an important point that, you know, even when you're doing like episodic mysteries, it's typically like the most compelling of that example of that type of series definitely has sort of still has an overarching like central mystery related to its protagonist or something similar. I was also going to say that in terms of like the long form, like single mystery beginning to end kind of series, you may have touched on this while I was having technical difficulties, but manga as a format doesn't really lend itself to that kind of like singular mystery. Like newer forms of manga, where we're seeing more and more manga just appearing as web comics and sort of being independently published online, so they can sort of have whatever beginning point and end point the author desires from the beginning. I think that that's a better sort of situation for good mystery to be born out of. But in terms of like serialized magazine manga, like mystery is definitely one of those genres where the author has to know the ending first.
Yes, yeah.
But manga, serialized magazine manga, is as a medium is meandering and wandering and sort of figuring itself out as it goes, transforming often multiple times before it hits its stride. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how the medium is and always has been, which I think presents like some very unique, I guess, challenges when it comes to like mystery in particular. I mean, even talking about like Sherlock Holmes, like there's a reason like those are like a series of shorter mysteries, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you get to the overarching stuff and it's like becomes rather obvious that it's a serialized novel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By a man who hated his character. But
a lot of mystery writers do. They just get sick of him. Christy was the same about Poirot. She's like, oh, just let him fucking die. I hate this man.
And they're so valid for it.
Absolutely. To that point, I think it's really funny because obviously, like, prose, you can get away with some twists as well that don't work in a visual medium. You know, the idea of like an additional person in a situation, or like twins or whatever, right? And this is spoilers for the first volume of Spy Classroom, which is a novel that has huge acclaim and popularity. An anime that did terribly because the twist in the first volume just does not work, and I don't know how the manga exists, because again, visually it's not a twist that works. It's something that I figured out in the novel, and it was annoying me the whole time until it was revealed. And that might just be because I'm nosy and was like, this doesn't make sense. What's going on? Spoilers, but the first novel, we're supposed to think that there are 7 girls in this, you know, spy classroom or whatever. But the twist is that, in fact, there are 8, and that's how they get the step up from, or the leg up on the bad guy, because he doesn't know that there's an additional girl who can, you know, beat him up, right? All fine, good, cool, that's no problem. The issue is that all of these girls have, like, pretty prominent personalities and or visual appearances, right? And so they all have like some kind of weird ability that makes them unique, which is why they're in this particular class of failures. And so when you like light novels, I'm sure you know, Ray, and I'm sure many of the listeners know, they have illustrations at the front of the book, right? Sometimes in the book, but I don't think Spy Classroom does. I think it's just it at the front of the book. And the first illustration, the fold-out page, is the 7 girls, like, standing, and who are the characters in the novel. But there is a girl who is, like, very prominently mentioned, and mentioned over and over and over again, and she is not in that lineup. She's one of the characters who has, like, quite a large story arc, and then all the other girls... There's one who's, like, in that lineup who doesn't get mentioned. She might get mentioned once, but I'm like, the count is off. Like, there's some... did the artist screw up? Did the author forget? And then, no, it was revealed that this character is actually, like, there's an additional girl. So I kept flipping backwards and forwards. Like, every time a character was mentioned, I'd go back to that illustration and be like, okay, that's her. And then I'm like, where's the blonde one? Because there's no, because they kept mentioning that she was blonde. There was no blonde in that illustration, but there was a girl with pink twin tails, pink pigtails. I'm like, I would know that this is not... and an eye patch. She had pink hair and an eye patch. I'm like, that's a very strong visual character. what So I just was maybe paying too much attention. And
I
so
feel
that
like that's
ruins...
pretty natural, though, to, like, be looking back and forth to the, like, illustration with all the characters to figure out which one is who.
Exactly. So I was like, I don't know how this novel... Maybe, like, I don't actually know if it was published online. Maybe that helped it, like, initially, so people didn't have those illustrations to refer to. But I don't know how anyone... reading the book in print wouldn't feel like they were being gaslighted the whole time until it was revealed that, like, oh no, actually it was just it what we were gaslighting you, it was a trap.
What you didn't know, G, so, was that it was all a social experiment.
I guess so. And so I put that book down and was like, I hate this series, and then I just never went back to it.
Okay, well, we mentioned twins sometimes being the key to a mystery, and that jogged my memory for one of the really obvious series that I was going to talk about earlier and just like, had a moment. We talked about 20th Century Boys, but I wanted to talk about Monster. I think people wouldn't necessarily, it's like, it's more of a thriller than a mystery, so
yes,
I think
yeah.
people wouldn't necessarily think of it as a mystery, but I would say it definitely has some strong mystery elements, even though we know who the serial killer is from the beginning, in that the entire, like, thrust of the series is we're trying to figure out what we know he's gonna do something big, but we don't know what, so he's leaving all of these clues in his wake to figure out what exactly he's trying to accomplish, as well as the question of him being like this very, I mean, like, antichrist figure, right? He's very inhuman in the way that he, like, commits these crimes and leaves all this blood in his wake. Johan is the serial killer here. But we're wondering from beginning to end why, and also why he's, like, targeting Tenma specifically, why he just is so obsessed with this doctor. it to this day, it has its moments where it is overlong and has sort of side subplots that are, like, just, I don't know, Urasawa wanted to show off some random corner of Germany that he likes for a while, but that's definitely the series I still keep coming back to as my favorite work by Urasawa. There's just something to it. Yeah, that was just, wanted to make sure we got through this episode, and, you know, I mentioned it, so there you go.
Absolutely, and I agree. I do think that Monster is a tricky one, because it is a kind of a psychological thriller as much more than a mystery, but there's certainly a lot of mystery to it, and of Urasawa's mysteries, because he's certainly written a few, it's definitely his strongest. I completely agree on the over longness of it. All of his works, I think, just end up being too long for what they are.
I think
Master
Pluto
is another. Pluto's the best, but I think
Pluto's the best.
Because it's reliant on the original Astro Boy story, that he obviously, like, he expanded a lot on that, and there's only so much he can push a single or two chapter old 60s comic. but yeah, like, Master Keaton is one that I think is also, like, just very, very repetitive and overlong. He gets away with a lot because he is very good at what he does. And so it's like, how about you wrap it up in less than 20 volumes, just quietly?
You know what? He gets through Monster in 18, and it has a lot less Dad rock than 20th Century Boys, which, you know, that might be a loss to some people, but I preferred it that way. So.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
One other title that I also wanted to mention that benefits, I think, from being a single volume beginning to end. Thus, just one mystery, is another one that's very much got, like, a psychological horror element to it that's very strong. But this is sort of the lesser known of Shinde's two works, which is Total Eclipse of the Eternal Heart.
Yes, yeah.
This is, yeah, definitely one of the darker ones we're talking about here. This is not a cozy mystery. and it's another one where we, like, we know who the bad guy is, right? It's, you know, the psychological thriller. He's playing mind games on the main character. But in this one, the mystery is that we don't necessarily know his crime. We don't know, like, the details of what happened, and we don't know what his motivation was, or whether, how he's gonna manifest trying to pull the same crime again. So there's a lot of sort of looking back into the past of this particular serial killer. This story also does have a supernatural element to it. I don't want to spoil too much of that, but this is just a very tense, psychosexual kind of read. It's BL, I guess, but it there's no like nice friendly romance happening here. There's a lot of really fucked up shit happening here, and it's not really meant to be, like, sexy. It's meant to be grotesque. I think that if you're, like, going into this from, like, go for it, Nakamura, you're gonna be like, what? but if you go into it knowing what it is, I think it's a really strong piece and really worth reading.
Another similar, like, it is a psychological thriller as much as it is a mystery. It's one that is also from a very prominent, but maybe not in the same circles, mangaka, and that is Nijigahara Holograph. That's an Inio Asano single volume. Fantagraphics put it out a million years ago. I don't know if it's still in print, but that one is about a group of kids who, in their childhood, one of their friends died, and they are now, as adults, trying to figure out, like, who killed her, why, because there's always been a mystery around her death. And in typical Asano fashion, I don't think you really get any answers. It's certainly not a book that hand holds you. It's one that you're just gonna be kind of like, oh, okay, you figure it out yourself. Like, I do think there is a clear inference that you get when you read it, but I do think that maybe for those who are not familiar with Asano's work, or who are not familiar with, like, contextual reading, you might get annoyed because there's no, like, straightforward, he was the killer the whole time. So, you know, do with that as well, what you will. And again, I hesitated to mention it, just because it is very out of print, and I don't know if you can get it anymore.
I have an ancient video on my channel that's a review of that one. but man, beautiful book. Going to a question from, we've got a couple questions from at Bacchus Vines. The first one is, what subgenre do you like with your mysteries? So we keep like splitting things into sort of mysteries with supernatural elements and mysteries that are more like on the realistic side of things. Which do you prefer, G?
I think for like actual
gun against
fulfillment
your head.
I think for actual like fulfillment of like my detective bug brain, it would be that more realistic style of mystery. I do like as much as there are, you know, brats, I do like the, you know, the detective with great deduction abilities. As much as I'd hate them in real life, I'm like, ooh, I like reading about you. I do like, and similar in that vein, I do like mystery stories that have that kind of thriller element to them as well. Mm-hmm. I do like feeling like there's a high tension to those mysteries. And then kind of separate to that, if we're talking about like less serious poisonings and stabbings and styles of crimes, I do like the softer sort of, I guess, I hate using the word or the genre slice of life because that's not what it is, but more like Iyashike kind of Jeweler Richard style of,
yeah.
Like, these are not high stakes mysteries.
They're
more
like
just
cozy.
Like, yeah, cozy emotional explorations that are about, you know, things that don't end up with people dead. So yeah, those are my two.
Yeah, for me, I really like if I'm feeling like I want a mystery, like I really like ones where I'm like given a list of suspects, given, you know, the clues. I like sort of puzzling it out as I go. And I like getting the explanation at the end. It's like, oh, so that's how they did it. And I was specifically thinking about, like, I think I also like the sort of Scooby-Doo type of, like, we're introducing some sort of, like, horrific or supernatural element, but then, you know, the mask gets pulled off at the end, and you're like, oh my god, it was your ex-wife!
Yeah. it was the butler
it
the
was,
whole time!
It was Zoo Man Sam! So I was thinking about a series that G knows that I've read in Japanese that's never ever gonna be brought over here, called Yurei to, or like the Phantom Tower, and that one has specifically, it does have that element of like, you know, maybe this is a curse, maybe there's a you know, all this demonic whatever going on, but then in the end it's, you know, just turns out to be like the crazy guy who's like trying to get the treasure that's in the tower. But also, like, I really like that there's a creepy tower that some, you know, madman 100 years ago hid his fortune into the basement, and there's booby traps everywhere, and they have to go in the tower in order to solve the mystery. I like the you know, Nancy Drew style, like, solving the complicated, like, lock mechanisms and solving puzzles and stuff. I think that that's super fun. So that kind of thing with that sort of interactive element pleases my inner child. So that's one of my go-tos. I'd also say, obviously from some of the titles I was talking about, big psychological horror fan, so which Yurei to also has a lot of elements of psychological horror, so those are probably those are like the buttons I like pushed in my history series, I think.
There's a series called Inspector, which...
Yeah.
So that has a lot of that where it is, like, there's a curse or, like, a local rumor that a human is taking advantage of in order to, like, commit a crime. Mm-hmm. But because we know that it has already been established in the setting that there is, like, actually a supernatural element, I don't remember her name, Toko maybe, has this ability to see spirits. Like, there's always that possibility of, like, maybe it is a supernatural thing. It never is, but, like...
but it could be.
Maybe, but it could be. It could possibly be that this time it is a ghost, right? So there's that, like, you're never quite sure until you get to that situation and it's all laid out to you. You're like, oh, it was a human the whole time. So I think there's that.
The true villain. What's man?
Capitalism. Which is the true villain in every Scooby-Doo story. But to that point, I do think that's a way to, like, marry this or do something different with, like, a supernatural kind of setting of, like, defying expectations, because we know, like, there are little spooky things happening in realsies. But it's like, no, it was just a dude. And you're like, man, I would have, what a twist.
What a twist. Yep. Maybe I should give that one a shot then. Sounds up my alley, maybe. I would tell you to check out Yureto, but...
Alas.
The other question from @BacchusVines is, Case Closed, or Detective Conan, is probably the most well-known mystery manga. Are there any shorter mystery manga that carry the same flair that you would recommend to new readers?
I can't say there's any other mystery manga where our main character turns into a child. Except
turns
for
into
Erased.
A little boy.
That's a lie. Erased does do that, but it's a little bit of a different function.
Okay, also, Detective Conan mysteries are better than the mystery in Erased, there I say.
Oh, yeah. The Erased mystery was not a mystery.
Sucks.
If you had eyes. But
I have issues with Erased. I feel
Erased
like
is not good as a mystery. Erased is not good as a mystery. It's all right as, like, an emotional exploration of, like, grief and regret, but it's not good as a mystery.
Okay.
It's all right.
It built itself as a mystery, and I'm still bitter about the fact that it built itself as a mystery. And that people keep trying to sell it to me like it's a really good mystery.
Yeah. I mean, that one really is, like, one of those, I don't want to say thrillers, but it's a drama more than it's a mystery, right? Mm-hmm. Like, anyway, that's neither here nor there. People like Erased. You're allowed to like Erased. I just don't think it works as a mystery. For a series that has a similar flair to Detective Conan that isn't 103 volumes long, that one's difficult because I do think that part of Conan's real appeal, as Ray mentioned, is the approachability. It is very much for kids. It's one that anyone can enjoy, but it is really written for kids. And a lot of the titles we've talked about up until this point aren't really written for kids in the same way. They are dealing with much darker subject matter. So, like, I wouldn't, with any of these recommendations, I don't know for you, Ray, but for any of these recommendations, I wouldn't recommend these as, like, children's media.
No. No. Well, not for, Sumeza, like, children's series, but, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, but there's much less murder in Natsume, let's be quite frank. And there's, kids do an like murder.
There's an alarming amount of murder in Detective Conan. Yes, kids love murder.
Kids love murder. Kids love crime. They are, honestly, like, they are into it. I say that as a kid who was super into it. I watched way too much Law and Order as a child.
Well, they're interested in the concept of death and mortality as something that is new and fresh to them. But they also haven't matured enough to understand what death means. So that's definitely, like, developmentally a space where there's room to really explore some very macabre topics with a very sober eye, because you're not as, like, emotionally wrecked by it because you don't actually understand what's happening in any like true, like, real sense, and that's gonna depend on the kid and, like, their own personal experiences with death. But it's an interesting, like, period developmentally. It's almost like I'm a teacher or something.
To actually answer that question, though, I think there's a couple. One, which I've already mentioned, The Apothecary Diaries. I think it has a really good mix of, like, crime and then character stuff and, like, seeing the relationships between characters develop. And I just think that the main character is awesome. So, you know, that's always a plus. Raven of the Inner Palace as well is a very similar setup. A little bit more supernatural, but, like, not by much. But if you like a young girl solving mysteries within the Emperor's kind of inner chambers and inner palace, then that one is also very good. That has a novel and an anime. I don't think it has a manga. Doesn't matter if it does. I haven't read it. But the other one that I think has a lot of, like, for as grisly and gruesome and, like, really not for kids that it is, one that is just, like, really fun. This is one... it's funny to read, and it's actually, like, kind of a joy to read, despite its, like, very grisly nature, and that is Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service, which has made me, like, out loud laugh a lot of times. That one, for those who don't know, is getting an omnibus re-release from Dark Horse. It never technically ended, but... it was out of print and on hold for a lot of years. That is the story of a, I think they're a religious university in Tokyo, who, it's this club called the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service, wherein each member has, like, some weird thing that they're super into. So they have a girl who is she's studying... kind of forensic pathology, but notably she's an embalmer, so she, you know, she's kind of their coroner slash embalmer. We have our main character who can actually hear the voices of the dead after they've passed away, so he can, like, touch a dead body and they'll start talking to him. You have a character who can find dead bodies through the power of dowsing. And you have a character who he has, like, this puppet, and he channels the voice of an alien through his puppet. And then you have the girl who's, like, their woman behind the screen. She does all their researching and kind of bankrolls them. And it's just, that one really feels like kind of a Scooby-Doo style of a gang of misfits. They find a body normally on the banks of a river or somewhere, and their whole thing is that they find a body and they talk to it and find out who they were and take them back to their family or whatever in exchange for monetary compensation. And then, you know, they go and have fun. And yeah, it's basically the story of them finding various dead bodies. Some who have had a really gruesome and miserable end. and so sometimes having to figure out, like, who murdered them, or like they have to solve their death in order to get payment. So they get wrangled into a lot of murders, a lot of like serial killer-y type of stuff. There's been a lot of like cultish people disappearing, that kind of thing. Yeah, certainly not for the faint of heart. It is a very grotesque, it doesn't shy away from the realities of death and decomposition specifically. It's a very highly realistic art style, so not for the squeamish.
It's just like Detective Conan.
Exactly. No, it is certainly not one for kids, and it's certainly not one that's like for everyone, but I think the like fun element of it, like, surprisingly, it is very funny, and like this group of characters are really fun to read about. And they literally drive around in their hearse looking for bodies, which is always a fun time. it is Scooby-Doo on like the most grim side of the spectrum.
Scooby-Doo on acid.
And instead of a talking dog, they have a talking hand puppet that is embodied like the voice of an alien somewhere upon the solar system. It's a Love good it. Time.
I was gonna mention much more humbly, I name dropped it a couple of times, but a pretty obvious comparison would be an older manga. 17 volumes of it were released by Tokyopop. They're all like way out of print, but you know, you never know when you're gonna come across one. They kind of go undercover because the covers. This was when Tokyopop was trying to do like covers that would trick people into reading manga by looking like just a normal book. So they're very boring, like photographic covers. But this is Kindaichi Case Files. It's like 76 volumes in Japan, but we got, like I said, 17 over here. About, you know, boy genius detective. high schooler, whatever, and his little group of friends, and they solve mysteries. Like, it's literally, the only reason I didn't attach harder to it, I think, was because I found Detective Conan first. It's kind of like whichever cast happens to endear you more ends up being your preferred one. But, like, if you're not really feeling the core cast of Detective Conan, or you're kind of tired of reading about the same group of characters over and over again, I would, you know, maybe track down some of those volumes, give them a shot. You know. Yeah. It's,
I was the only I have one more to add to this list, which is a supernatural kind of mystery series. This one is definitely for kids. It ran in Jump. We got all of it in English. I think it's 18 volumes from Viz. And this is Mukyo and Roji's Bureau of Supernatural Investigation. And is about a kid and his assistant. Well, he's a young supernatural magical law enforcer, and his assistant, one of them like looks like probably 6 years old, but I don't think he's actually 6 years old, and then his assistant looks like older than him, but I think he's actually younger. The character design makes them unsure. They might both be 10 years old. Who knows? One is extremely short. And they basically go around and like find supernatural, you know, things happening that are breaking magical laws, and then they go like, hey, stop breaking that law, and then they capture it in a big book. And you know, send them to supernatural jail or something. I don't really remember. There's two seasons of anime, which I think adapts the entire series, and you know, it's fun. It's got a similar like kid young mystery vibe in the same way that Conan does, obviously, with like monsters and things rather than people committing crimes.
People monsters.
The real monsters.
Shadowy.
Humanity.
Shadowy bald figures of indeterminate gender.
Yep.
Who also have their own spin-offs at this point.
They have their own figures, Ray. I mean, this is Conan
incredible.
Is just its whole thing.
I love it. Iconic, honestly. The true villain truly is capitalism.
I told you.
Is it all right if I get into our last sort of set of questions?
Absolutely.
Our last and longest from our friend of the show and unofficial mod at Storied Shelves. We have quite a few questions. First, comparing older to newer series, how do you see that the approach to writing / presenting mystery stories has changed? I feel like for me it's difficult because I don't think that I've read that many like older mystery series. I've read some that are like mystery horror, like, you know, whether it's like The Drifting Classroom or something like Saint Rosalind is an older shoujo horror title that I've read that has strong mystery elements, but I mean, they just tend to be more like openly aimed at kids. I don't know. But that's just manga in general, you know, like if you go back far enough, it's just like there weren't that many manga being made that were aimed at older audiences. What about you, G? How do you feel?
I would say that, like, mystery inherently, like, when we look at written mystery novels of the Doyle and, like, we'll compare Doyle to Christie, right? So they're very separate eras of mystery, but they are seen as a little bit synonymous as, like, the grandfather and grandmother of mystery. Which, you know, that's neither here nor there. We can argue about that. But Doyle's writing, although, like, clues are there, the ultimately, like, a lot of the story is reliant on that, like, incredible detective to explain how things happened. Like, you... although you might have some context, you might not have all of the clues. So you are reliant on the detective to explain everything. And then you go, oh, brilliant. Okay, cool. Like, that's why you're the detective, Mr. Holmes. Yes, oh, clap. And then comparatively, like, Christie's stuff, you do get... and again, people may argue this or not, including my year 8 high school English teacher, but I was still correct, that you do get all of the, you do get all of the clues, and you do have the opportunity to solve the mystery yourself before you have Miss Marple or Hercule Poirot explaining, like, oh, this is how it was done. You might not figure it out, but you do have everything shown to you as the reader. There is, and Christie's, I mean, Christie was so prolific. Like, she has written so many things that there is a bit of repetition for some of her stories. If you've read, you know, a substantial amount of Poirot, you've experienced it all. You don't need to go from beginning to end. You know, there's only so many strychnine poisonings you can enjoy before you're like, oh my goodness, where is everyone getting this strychnine? There's a lot of like really interesting, cool things that she's done over the course of her career. Mm-hmm. Regardless, when we talk about this transition from like that as a reader or as an audience member, you don't have all of those clues to solve it, versus like you do have all of those clues. Whether or not you can solve it is up to like your own deduction capabilities. Don't mm-hmm. worry, we will still explain it to you at the end if you're not mm-hmm. quite there yet. Is a manner of initially, like early on in the genre, it was not like, I don't think authors and audiences kind of believed that they could solve it. Like I don't think there was enough faith that the audience would be able to figure it out, right? Whereas when you do have all the clues, like it does have that faith, like, oh yes, you can, like we are not, you can be smart, you're allowed to be smart and try to figure it out, and then therefore be more satisfied when you do figure it out. Mm-hmm. Bringing that back to manga, I do think that if we look at, like, I'm in a similar boat where I haven't read a whole bunch of, like, classic mystery manga. I hate to inflict any more Tezuka upon myself, so unless there's a really, really strong instance of this that someone can name, and then I will maybe check that one out, but I've read enough that I don't want to keep looking. But also, like, if we look at They Were 11, as previously mentioned, or even like another one of Haguio's mystery, which is much more modern, of being Otherworld Barbara, there mm-hmm. is a there's a faith maybe that the audience can figure it out, and mm-hmm. so like you are allowed to try and puzzle through it whilst before you get to the end and then you are told what happened. I do mm-hmm. think that in some of the more modern manga, whether it's just because of the difficulty of writing the genre, or that the author, like the mangaka themselves, is not necessarily a huge fan of mystery, there's a lot less foreshadowing clues, and it does feel a little mm-hmm. bit more like a return to that, we shall just explain because I am the genius detective. And yeah. part of that is, again, we have an increase in characters who have this kind of like magical ability, this cheat code to figure things out. And neither one is like inherently better than the other. But as someone who, again, is a mystery fan, who has read and watched a lot of mystery over her lifetime, when I see mystery manga that are written for like adults, so not shonen and shoujo stuff, like obviously things need to be more simple and straightforward for kids, right? You don't mm-hmm. you're not gonna feel like a big brain genius for figuring out the Conan Conan suspect every single time necessarily.
Hey,
it does have to be for kids. But like I do feel like if you're writing for an older audience and you still can't trust them to try and figure it out for themselves before being like, ha, I didn't tell you all of the clues anyway, so good luck for you trying to figure it out, then I do think that's like you're not giving your audience the benefit of the doubt, or like trusting them as an adult to have that deduction skill, mm-hmm. Which can be a bit of a bummer, especially if you're like, but I wanted to see if I could figure it out. I want to see if I was a big brain detective. So, you know, it's there's strengths to each. I do think that when you can have a like a genius boy detective on the scene who has all of the abilities to figure things out, but also you as the reader can see in panel, like you have all of the clues there to puzzle it together, and you can be have guesses in your brain before the character's like, yes, it was the snake the whole time. Again, mystery can be hard to write. Not everyone can do it, and it is one that I think people kind of think is really easy to write because it is so tropey that they just get lazy and are like, well, it's fine, you know, I'll just make it that the gardener poisoned her or whatever. But they don't have the strength of writing to properly foreshadow that before it gets revealed. So I think it might just be a little bit of like inexperience or disinterest in mystery as a genre. Maybe it's because mystery, modern mystery, like in writing and in the literature world, is not nearly as popular as it was once was back in the turn of the century. So we have less people engaging it with it, and the only, if you do engage with it, it's all Christian Doyle. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of that as well.
Next question from at Story Shelves. Are there any series that at first glance may not seem like mystery stories, but are? I mean, a lot of the ones that we've been talking about, I think. So, especially, like, some of the more supernatural ones. You know, Mushishi or like Natsume or something having like strong mystery elements, people might not realize. I think going back to Hagio, a lot of her series focus on a mystery right at the core. Otherworld Barbara being the most obvious. I feel like people would know going in that it's sci-fi, but might not realize that it is very much a mystery as well. But in general, it's something that she likes to do, is just, like, put a mystery at the center of her story as something to unravel as the story goes on. The Heart of Thomas does this as well. Zankoku no Kamigashi Haisuru does this. It's sort of a something she keeps returning to. So.
Yeah, to that point, I think also, I mean, there's a bunch that we, again, we've mentioned already. The Apothecary Diaries doesn't immediately scream mystery if you know nothing about it. Obvious, like, it could, that could mean anything. That could mean anything. But it does actually deal with murders and poisonings and all sorts of things. Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service, it certainly has a striking name, but I, again, don't necessarily think it screams mystery manga. In a similar vein, some of those supernatural ones, well, I mean, the two that I've mentioned have been supernatural, but there's things like there are titles that like are obviously about detectives, right? Like My Dear Detective, the Mitsuko's Case Files, like that has detective in the name. You're not gonna not know what that is. Inspector is a fun play on words, and that again kind of lends itself to like, oh, inspector, like a detective, but with the ghostly spelling of Spectre. Ah, I have connected the dots.
How intriguing.
Exactly. So, like, those are very obviously, like, and again, case closed, Detective Conan, those are obviously about detectives. They're obviously about detectives. But yeah, stuff like, even when we haven't really talked about them, I didn't like, they're fine, but stuff like Starving Anonymous or Prophecy or Until Your Bones Rot, which are all mysteries in their own right, those could be about anything, really. Like, Until Your Bones Rot, maybe, but, like, it's not inherently like, oh, this is going to have murder and mystery and crime. In the same way that, like, I don't know if... Hopefully people don't go into some of these titles blind in the same way that I do, because they may mess you up. But, like, even Higurashi, when they cry, that doesn't immediately jump out as a mystery. It jumps out as a horror, but it doesn't jump out as a mystery initially. Mm-hmm. Until you loop back and then you're like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. and similarly, Umineko, obviously.
Next question is, what series have your favorite art/character design/setting? I was talking about some Urasawa series, so I'll say he's an incredible comic artist. His work is incredibly cinematic, and there are entire chapters in Monster that are permanently seared into my brain. So nothing but the most of respect for one of the most popular guys. Wow, what a hot take. He's good at comics, kind of. I mean...
To add to that, I mean, we're not going to allow Ray to talk about Hagio anymore, but obviously Hagio.
Restrain myself from talking about Hagio.
Yeah, exactly. I want to add that, especially if we're talking about, like, very distinct art styles, Shima Shinya, who has done Lost Lad London and who has an upcoming 4-volume series from Yen called Glitch, which is also a mystery. It has, from my understanding, a lot less police involvement, so you may be more chill with that one, Ray. I'm very excited for that. But their art is just so lovely. I love their art. It's a very distinct art style, in the same way that, like, Natsume Ono's art is. But man, just so good. Setting-wise, I mentioned it in the previous answer, My Dear Detective Mitsuko's Case Files, that is set in the late Taisho, early Showa period, so the 1920s, 1930s, which is always just, like, a really fun setting, I find, especially when you do have a female main character, because it's a huge period of change for Japan. The increase of westernization, the increase of women, like, in the workforce outside of homemakers, and in the Western world sort of meshing a little bit more than it had in previous eras. And it's just a fun, like, that setting is very evocative to me of that, like, older, like, novel murder mystery. The Christies and the Holmes of these worlds, Doyles of these worlds. So that's always fun. And I also am a big fan of, these kind of inner palace sorts of political schism mysteries of Apothecary Diaries and Raven of the Inner Palace. Is that what it's called? Which has a little bit more of a historical Chinese setting versus Japan. It's fun when, like, things are set in not Japan as well. I have to mention this because I read it. It's only 2 volumes long. I only read the first one because I think the second one just came out. This is I'm not gonna say it's, like, a good mystery, and I don't think it's necessarily a good story either. It's called Manner of Death. It's a 2-volume BL murder mystery about a coroner who, after the death of this woman, he suspects it's a homicide, but very quickly it starts being threatened to rule it a suicide. And so he gets starts fearing for his life. He gets attacked, people around him start disappearing. And then, the boyfriend of this woman who dies, he's kind of the lead suspect. And so, but maybe there's something else going on. It's a BL, so do with that what you will. But the reason I bring it up is because I didn't know anything about this going into it, aside from it was a short, two volume series and it was a BL. But so when I start reading and the characters, I'm like, that's not a Japanese name. That is really not a Japanese name. And then I was like, those sound like Thai names. And then I looked, one of the phones in the comic had Thai. I was like, oh my God, I'm so good at this. Because they didn't initially say it was in Thailand. And so I was like, that's an interesting, setting for a manga. And then I read at the end, I was like, oh, okay, it was like a Thai novel that got adapted to manga, which I think is an interesting transition.
We still going from questions by at story shelves. What series do you think have been weaker in writing or presentation of the mystery aspects, and which have been stronger? I mean, I feel like we've more or less gone into this one already, including talking about some of the mystery series that maybe failed to live up to our expectations as mysteries. So unless there's anything that you particularly feel like you want to add to this one?
My only addition is Lost Lab London. It is a mystery. It is a good series, but I don't think the mystery aspect of it is very good.
And I would say that I don't have as many issues with the ending to Monster as a lot of people do, but as an ending to the mystery, I think it's somewhat confused, convoluted, more so than it really needed to be. But it is beautiful, like it's gorgeous. Like that rain-soaked town, seared into my brain. But as a mystery, could have ended stronger, I think. What time period or setting is your favorite? I think you just mentioned it earlier, and I decided to wait to agree, but Taisho era is perfect for mystery. Yurei, though, is set in the Taisho era. Just vibes, man, vibes. I definitely agree with you about like court intrigue as well. It's one of the draws to the King's Beast for me. That we're mostly dealing with like inner courtroom type of drama.
It's also kind of just a different flavor of historical setting that is part of that lends itself to the mystery, the mystique around these inner castles and things, all the politics going on just gives it that extra layer of mystery.
The shadowy corridors. Weird secret dungeons. The story of Sai and Koku also has, within the manga, what the manga covers, it has a couple different arcs that are along the who tried to poison the emperor line. So, always a fun time.
I just also wanted to say, in addition to that, although the series itself is not, well, it's kind of a mystery manga, but I think that's why the mystery, the murder mystery storyline in Black Butler works so well, is because it's set in a creepy Victorian boarding school. Which I'm like, see, you could do that storyline in any setting, but the fact that it's in a creepy Victorian boarding school just makes it that much better.
Yep. Same with, you know, like the bird's nest story in the Poe clan. It's just, you know, set in a boys' boarding school in like 1950s, I think. And it's just vibes. It's spooky vibes. I mean, it's got vampires in it. Last two questions. Lightning round. What cases have been your favorites and why? I feel like I don't really have an answer to this because I don't pinpoint like particular cases so much. In the mysteries that I read. Certainly, like, when we did our episode on Mushishi, we went through some of our favorite chapters in that one. So, I'm sure there's certainly some series where there's, like, standout. In the first omnibus for Don't Call It Mystery, I think that the bus hijacking is the highlight for me so far. The very first mystery was a bit... rocky, when they were trying to do the explanation at the end, I was like, okay, what? But by the time we got around to, like, the second and third mysteries in that volume, it was starting to shape up a little better, so. And that one was definitely the one that was most memorable to me.
Yeah, I agree that the bus hijacking is a really strong, I would agree that it's probably the strongest so far of the mysteries in Don't Call It Mystery. I always like when, like, a rival Moriarty-esque character gets introduced, because that just gives an extra bit of flavor and fun to a big brain detective boy story.
I love that his character design is so, like, big shoulder yaoi man too.
Well, it's to counterpoint Totono's just afro. That's his whole entire character is afro. So someone has to
and be going around and seeing people who don't have curly hair and being like, I wish my hair was straight. That's his character trait.
Is wishing for straight hair and eating curry. Those are his two personalities.
And being profoundly annoying to everyone around him.
More specifically, I like a lot of the stories in the Case Files of Jeweler Richard. The opening story to that one being Seiji's grandmother having stolen a ring, I think, in her youth, and trying to track down the original owner of that is a very powerful, like, character story and a really strong opening to what that series is and what it's all about, as well as obviously Seiji's relationship with his grandmother. I always, like, if we're talking about classic detective stuff, I would say, like, I do like a locked room mystery, because there's a bunch of variations on that. And just seeing, like, oh, how could this person have... And that's the really, like, one of the opening mysteries of Case Closed as well, is that... I don't know if you remember this far back, because I did read some Case Closed for this. There's an idol where a man turns up dead in her apartment, and it's her ex-boyfriend, and they're like, who murdered him? Was it the idol, or the rival idol, or was it the manager? And the figuring that all out is a really good locked room mystery, which is fun and good for kids.
Detective Conan has a lot that are, like, identical to that, so.
I'm sure.
repeating its concepts, but it does a locked room mystery pretty well. It's a lot of fun. Last question, from at Storied Shelves. Any that you found inventive or interesting to follow along? I think this is a continuation of the question about, like, cases. I'd say, of course, any of the ones that we've been talking about so far. I also really like the story to Yureto. As bonkers as it can get. I think that's part of the fun. It's very utilizing a lot of like elements of the macabre and the grotesque. It's named after a Rumpo Edogawa novel. And it's definitely like the art too is lush and decadent and really just like the core premise of the story starts with a guy getting tied to a clock tower, like the clock face of a clock tower, as you know, the needle keeps moving up, which is fun. So yeah, I had fun with that one.
To answer this, I have a couple answers. I'll keep them short. There's a case in My Dear Detective Mitsuko's Case Files wherein it is revealed that the character who we thought was dead was not dead the whole time, which wasn't really even about like the mystery. The initial mystery or the initial like case that they were given was very different, but it's always nice when there isn't someone dead. That's always a good thing. when it betrays your expectations. Jeweler Richard is like famous for its story about Richard's inheritance, which is part of the reason why he left England, part of the reason his previous relationship broke down, and why the relationship with his family is so rocky. It's sort of the climax of the anime, and it's certainly the climax or the initial catalyst of Richard and Seiji's feelings being much more than a part-timer and boss, which is always a good time. And then just generally inventive and interesting, but satisfying. I've mentioned it before, I'll say it again. I do think that Higurashi, Nei, Umineko do really good jobs at like presenting a really interesting and compelling variety of mysteries and paying them off really well. I would never have been able to guess the twist in Umineko. Like, I would never have been able to guess. But I didn't feel cheated out of that experience when it was revealed. It's an interesting and inventive way to present a mystery. And I do recommend either of those. It's also inventive in regards to the manga, because each arc is done by a different artist, which means they are very visually different from each other, which I think is a cool way to differentiate those things. Those are mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, cool. I think we got a lot of different series talked about. Lots of different kinds of mysteries. Recommended, so hopefully anyone listening has been able to hear one or two titles that pique their interest.
Absolutely. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Thank you everyone who sent in your questions. I hope we answered them to the best of our ability. Well, I know we answered them to the best of our ability. I hope we answered them satisfactorily. Next month, we are doing a creator spotlight. One of my favorites, one who I know that Ray has enjoyed in the past. We are going to be talking about Tatsuki Fujimoto, the creator of Chainsaw Man and Fire Punch, and a variety of one-shots, all of which are very unique and interesting and very Fujimoto. So send in your questions for that. We will do a Twitter post as per usual if Twitter, nay X, still exists at that point. Otherwise, you can leave your questions in the comment section below if you are listening to this on YouTube. As always, you can find this podcast on YouTube at my channel, Simply G. You can also find it on all the major podcasting platforms, namely Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, although I don't think that exists. Everything just stops existing. We are in a big time of change. But you can follow us on anywhere that you get your podcasts. If you did enjoy this episode, or if you enjoy the podcast in general, please leave us a like, a review, a star rating, whatever it is that you can. We do really appreciate those, and they do make a difference. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I have been G, joined by my always wonderful co-host Ray from Whimsical Pictures, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye till then.
Bye, guys.